Support comes from Sunday Morning Cafe, presenting Resilience and Creativity, a concert and interview with Royce Martin, creator of Swag Time, and resilience researcher Dr. Tom Wagner on August 2nd, SundayMorningCafe.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, June 22nd. I'm Abby Larico. Summer in the Midwest means berries ready for picking. Now some farms are growing something you might find in your own backyard, the Juneberry.
It's a native shrub. It's highly nutritious. It tastes great.
The push to popularize the Juneberry coming up after this news on The Gateway. This week marks the first time in years that Missouri's Planned Parenthood affiliates will offer medication abortion. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports that's because Jackson County Judge Jerry Jung has struck down many state laws restricting the procedure.
State voters approved Amendment 3 in 2024, which put the right to an abortion in the Missouri Constitution. The state's Planned Parenthood affiliates soon sued to strike down dozens of restrictions. Jung ruled statutes, including a 72-hour waiting period, facilities licensing requirements, and a rule that requires tissue to be sent to a lab after an abortion, are now unlawful under the new amendment. Planned Parenthood has resumed some abortions since Amendment 3, but has said the rules have made prescribing medication abortion impossible. Missouri officials argued during a 10-day bench trial earlier this year that such laws were necessary to ensure safety. Attorney General Catherine Hanaway says she'll fight to appeal the decisions to the state's Supreme Court. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
If you've been taking an alternate route when driving through downtown St. Louis to avoid a 30-foot-wide cave-in that opened last week beneath Interstate 44, you'll need to keep using that detour for a while longer. I-44 between the Stan Musial and Poplar Street bridges will remain closed through at least this weekend. The Missouri Department of Transportation says it couldn't source the materials soon enough for its first plan to close the hole and will move to its plan B. The department says a water main break caused the cave-in. For a detailed list of related road closures, see our coverage at stlpr.org. Thousands of people who suffered unsafe conditions at St. Louis's Workhouse Jail are eligible for money as part of a $4 million settlement with the city. As STLPR's Lucretia Wembley reports, qualifying applicants have one more week until next Monday, June 29th, to file a claim.
Advocacy firm Arch City Defenders first filed the federal class action lawsuit against the city in 2017. It stated the medium security institution, known as the Workhouse, was plagued by insects, rodents, mold, and inadequate heating and cooling. Years later, the jail is closed, and thousands of people who were detained there between 2012 and 2022 can file a claim. Maureen Hanlon is a managing attorney at Arch City Defenders.
Settlements are always bittersweet because I don't really think any amount of money could compensate people for what I've seen and heard and know to have went on in that jail.
The settlement funds will be divided by how many days each class member spent inside the workhouse. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
People under the age of 18 will not be welcome in the Grove after 8 p.m. during this weekend's Pride events. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer is setting the overnight curfew for minors, saying in a statement that the move is necessary to keep the area safe. Fights broke out in the popular LGBTQ nightlife spot last year after Pride celebrations. However, none of the six people arrested then were underage. Police will barricade the neighborhood at Boyle and Vandeventer Avenues. Parents or guardians will have to come pick up any youth who violate the curfew at a reunification center. A Republican candidate for Missouri's 6th congressional district says he will back President Trump's agenda for the North Missouri-based seat. But as STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum reports, that means supporting a policy that many farmers say hurt their livelihood.
Trump's tariffs have been unpopular with some farmers, especially when other countries retaliate and make their operations less lucrative. But Nathan Willett says he backs the tariffs as a way of producing better trade deals in the long run. Willett says the fact that the 6th District, which includes Northeast Missouri, is largely agricultural, doesn't change his position on tariffs.
The president is a winner. The president's going to push back. The president is going to do things that are unconventional, and I support him.
Willett's main opponent in the August 4th primary is radio host Chris DeGaulle. The winner of the GOP primary will be favored to replace the retiring Sam Graves in November. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
You can hear more of that interview on Politically Speaking at stlpr.org or wherever you get your Politically Speaking podcasts. The East St. Louis community is looking toward its future in agriculture with Jackie Joyner Kersey's new Food, Agriculture, and Nutrition Center. As St. Louis Public Radio's Anison Krebs Carr reports, the center will help East St. Louis youth gain experience in STEM fields.
Damian Jones works at the Passive Solar Greenhouse, part of the Fan Center at East St. Louis. The greenhouse is the first of its kind in the U.S. and will produce 30,000 pounds of food a year. Jones says the greenhouse is important because many kids in the community aren't used to eating fruits and vegetables.
We're just trying to bring more awareness to the nutrients and stuff that we're putting in our body, because a lot of stuff is really messing us up and we don't really know it.
The greenhouse grows peppers, cucumbers, strawberries, and other crops. Jones says everything is grown naturally with no preservatives. He says once harvested, the produce goes back into the community. I'm Anison Krebs Carr, St. Louis Public Radio.
This month, a native berry is ready to pick throughout the Midwest. Juneberries, also called service berries, have a sweet, nutty flavor. But most people have never tried them. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports on a new push to get juneberries onto plates.
Flourish Farm and Folk School sits on the bluffs of the Mississippi River outside of Alton, Illinois. Here, Crystal Moore Stevens and her family are growing something you won't find on most farms. A row of juneberries.
When we first moved to this property, we invested in dozens and dozens and dozens of serviceberry trees. This is the first year that they're really putting on lots and lots of fruit.
Tonight, the Stevens are helping a friend in a pinch. Cindy Higgerson owns an artisanal jam company in St. Louis. She specializes in local, hard-to-find ingredients, including juneberries. But this year, Higgerson's usual foraging spots didn't work out.
The storms just really knocked them all off the trees. When I went back, there were only a few, and there were like a million birds in the juneberries.
So the Stevens family invited Higgerson out to the farm. Higgerson fills containers with the blueberry-sized maroon fruits and eats a few as she goes.
They taste like a combination of berries. I think with the seeds in there tasting sort of like almond, it almost gives it cherry, notes of cherry in there.
Juneberries, or service berries, are a native plant that grows throughout North America and goes by a lot of different names. They're adapted to the Midwest's extreme weather, and local wildlife love them. But the berries aren't just for the birds. People all over the region forage and eat them. And now there's a new push to get more onto farms. Bill Davison works on commercializing the serviceberry and similar crops at the Savannah Institute, a nonprofit that promotes sustainable agriculture.
It's a native shrub. It's highly nutritious. It tastes great. It can support regional food systems and diversified farming.
Davison says in Canada, there's a developed market for juneberries. They're grown on large orchards and are even mechanically harvested. But the berries are rare on U.S. farms, and it can be hard for growers to make money with them. So most people are foraging the berries, even in cities like Chicago. Almost 3 miles of juneberries line Chicago's Bloomingdale Trail, which attracts runners and cyclists. Bonnie Taz is a local nature educator and picks these berries.
Someone will stop and say, "Are you sure you can eat those?" And so it's a great moment, you know, a teachable moment, as we say, to just say, yes, you can eat them. They're delicious.
To celebrate the 10-year anniversary of the trail, Taz wrote Berries for Bloomingdale, the serviceberry cookbook. It has more than 20 recipes from baked goods to savory dishes. Back in St. Louis, jam maker Cindy Higgerson is preparing to follow her own recipe. She washes the berries she picked at Flourish Farm, plus the few she was able to forage this year.
I'm going to do a little bit of jam math here.
She puts the berries in a pan, mashes them up, lets it simmer, then ladles it into 23 small jars. Finally, the lids of the jam jars begin to pop, meaning they're airtight and ready to sell. A few days later, Higgerson is putting them on her stand at St. Louis's popular Tower Grove Farmers Market. Before the market even starts, a shopper shows up for the Juneberry Jam.
Good morning!
Good morning!
Soon, a steady stream of curious customers are visiting the tent.
Gotta make a jam decision.
I have Juneberry Jam this morning.
What is that? I've never even heard of a Juneberry.
Higgerson sells out in just 2 hours. She and other Juneberry fans hope even more people will get to taste this early summer delicacy soon. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
I know at least one toddler who'd be thrilled to try a new type of berry. Kate produced that story with Harvest Public Media, a collaboration of public media newsrooms across the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.